Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. People brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately the man's ears were opened and his speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished and said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel we have this beautiful scene of not just one more miracle that the Lord worked, but one that has a particular relevance to each of us in our practice of the faith. He took this man off by himself and cured his deafness and his muteness. He did it in a particularly sacramental way, grossly putting his finger into the man's ears and spitting on the man's tongue and touching it, breaking sort of every convention of antiseptic decorum that we would have today. But then the man couldn't stop using his new tongue to proclaim the Lord, no matter how much the Lord insisted not to say anything. He and others couldn't stop themselves from saying, "Omnia bene fecit. He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf hear and the dumb speak." On the day we became Christian, another priest or a deacon or a bishop, stuck his finger into our ear and touched our tongue and said the exact same words, "Ephphatha," in a beautiful prayer. The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. Gives us an opportunity to remember that the Lord has given us ears and opened them precisely so that we can hear his voice. And he's given us a tongue and the capacity to communicate so that we can proclaim faith in him. Notice those two directions that the church puts. You know, there's a sense in which we're supposed to have dialogue and conversation with the Lord, yes. But the church puts a specific emphasis on our ear and on our mouth. The ear is so that we can say to the Lord, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." The Lord says to us in the psalm today, "I am the Lord your God, hear my voice." First purpose of our capacity to listen is to listen to God. And then the second, when it touches our mouth, it's to proclaim faith in him to the praise and glory of God the Father. Sometimes we can get it distorted. We can look at prayer as our speaking to God and say, "I am your son, listen to me. I'm your daughter, listen to me." And we can use our ears so much not to tune into the Lord, but to tune into what everybody else is saying, to tune into what the gurus are advising, to tune into what's happening in this convent or the next. It's important for us, if we're going to be disciples after the Lord's own heart, to prioritize the use of these gifts and to ask ourselves honestly, am I using this ability to listen to the Lord, to listen to the cries of those He wants me to care for, to listen attentively so that I can obey? That whole word, obedience, flows from ab audire, to listen so attentively almost to eavesdrop, to listen to the Lord, and then to speak in faith of the Lord, to say He has done all things well. Even in the midst of our sufferings, He still does all things well. Even in the midst of a church that in some ways is in chaos, He still does all things well. We mess it up. It's not His fault. He does all things well. Even what we'll set our eyes on at the beginning of Lent, even the details of His passion, death, and resurrection, He does all things well. Today in the first reading, we have the outgrowth of what happened in the life of Solomon, which I think is the greatest of the among the greatest tragedies of all time. Solomon, at the tender age of 18, had begged God for the gift of a heart that could listen to the Lord, a heart that was open, not hardened, that when the Lord's voice spoke, He loved it and heard it at the center of His being. No man up until Solomon had ever been blessed with that type of capacity to hear the Lord and prudentially apply what he had heard. Queen of Sheba came, and we saw that earlier this week. A 2,300-mile journey through the desert, the distance from New York to Carson City, Nevada, on foot. And she went both directions, and she took a whole caravan with her. And when she gave 120 gold talents, a talent weighed 75 pounds. A pound, you know, is 16 ounces. And today, an ounce of gold is $1,343.25. And so Sister Talitha will be able to tell us with her supercomputer that that was the equivalent of $193 million she gave because she was blown away by the wisdom of Solomon. That's how awesome it was. And yet, as we saw yesterday, not even 999 wives would do. 700 wives, 300 concubines who were wives of another class in the Roman Empire. You couldn't marry outside of your class. And concubinage was the means by which you'd have a formal relationship, like marriage, with somebody whom you couldn't actually marry because of social custom. 1,000 wives, including many pagans. The Lord had specifically forbidden intermarriage, precisely so that you wouldn't get into the idolatry that a wife would have. And yet Solomon, unwisely, because his heart went from an understanding one to a lustful one to a corrupt one to an idolatrous one, started to veer away. No longer was really listening to the Lord's voice. He who had written so many of the books in the wisdom literature was no longer so much speaking faith, because his body language was going in different directions. And the Lord, as we saw, was so displeased. And in yesterday's reading, we know what the Lord promised to him. Since this is what you want, not following my ways, not keeping my covenant, my statute, I will deprive you of your kingdom and give it to your servant. I will not do this during your lifetime for the sake of your father. Your father, when it was pointed out that he had sinned, repented. When you sinned, you didn't repent. You didn't understand the first thing about God. He was essentially going the way of Judas. That distinction we can ponder as we get into Holy Week. Peter and Judas both sinned, but Peter had grasped the Lord's mercy and came to the Lord for mercy, and Judas never understood it. It was the same distinction between David and Solomon. Today we see what occurred. Jeroboam, who was his public works minister, was met by the prophet Ahijah, and Ahijah had him tear up his brand new cloak and to take 10 pieces for himself. That's precisely what would occur. Solomon's son, who became king, was Rehoboam, who was the son of his Ammonite wife. And it symbolized just what had occurred, because she continued to worship a pagan god. So the kingdom was split, because the kingdom symbolized by the kings were no longer listening to the Lord. They were no longer speaking of him to each other and speaking to him in the temple. And this is what can occur. We have to be alert to it. So today, as we come forward, we need to ask ourselves how we're doing with the faculties that the Lord has given us, how we are living out the promises and the gifts of our baptism. We prayed in the Alleluia verse, "Open our hearts, O Lord, to listen to the words of your Son." Are our ears still truly open? Are we hungering to hear every word that comes from his mouth? Likewise, having heard that word, have we become impregnated with it? Is it growing within us, the word made flesh, so that it's more and more impacting our life? And can we keep it in? Or as we heard at the beginning of this week on Sunday, do we say, "Woe to me unless I share this word. Woe to me unless I preach this gospel." Jesus continues to do all things well. He gives us the gift of hearing and the gift of speaking. And he strengthens us in both of these tasks by entering into a holy communion of love with us through the Holy Eucharist.